You're with SBS Radio.
Welcome to NITV Radio, Belinda.
Thank you.
This conversation is taking place in the context of Indigenous Business Month, one of the initiatives of the Mora School of Business at Melbourne University. And you are one of the alumni in this program. Tell us about first your business and your experience with Mora.
I'm an Aboriginal woman from New South Wales. I live on Ngunnawal country. My people are the Warramai people from around Port Stephens, Barkindji people from out around Bourke, Wawin people from Warren, and Wiradjuri people from around Wellington, Dubbo. So I have connections to four different groups and I identify as a proud Aboriginal woman. I was working in New South Wales and then our family moved down here. I was already a sole trader.
Yeah.
So, and then I met business partners down here in Canberra. And then also our other business partner, Tina McGee, she's from Wollongong. I knew her through my sole trader role.
Yeah.
And we kind of just formed the group. So at the moment, there's myself as a business partner, Tina McGee, and Darren Schaefer. So we're an Aboriginal business. We started around 5 years ago, so we're just over 5 years old. And we started the business to increase equity and prosperity for Aboriginal people and all Australians through connections, leadership, truth-telling and education. And our vision by 2025 is to be the trusted and respected leader in professional services and role model for other Aboriginal businesses. I did the Mora program last year, so I was in Generation 8 with Michelle Evans. And the program was really positive. I suppose it provided me with a little bit more confidence and ongoing support, especially through the pandemic, which has been a bit of an issue. And the network that was built was really, really positive. So being around so many other knowledgeable Aboriginal business owners was really good. And that sharing and networking has been, I suppose, fundamental for my learning.
The pandemic came as a surprise to everyone, all of us, and especially in the business sector. How has it affected the way you do business?
I suppose the pandemic's been positive and negative. Well, there's been challenges, both. We have just under 30 staff or around 30 staff at the moment, and majority of our staff, always over 50% of our staff, are Aboriginal people. So our main priority is supporting our staff through both of our practices. So we have business evaluation and audit and community culture, education and change. And so the pandemic did come on very quickly and was unexpected. But I suppose the positives of that is that it's brought our workforce closer. And I suppose we've built, a different type of relationship with each other. And we've become very comfortable in using different types of technology. A lot of our staff, we have a varied workforce, so we have staff all across in Canberra and across New South Wales. So it's been really good with the technology to be able to, I suppose, that increased skills to connect more with our staff. But also we've been better connected with clients as well. We've been willing to work online. So there's been some positives on how we've adjusted and adapted. Some of the challenges or negatives have been around managing current contracts, as our clients, whether government or not, are also struggling and in the same kind of position as we are, struggling to keep up. We've obviously had quite a few delayed government contracts, and the general approaches to market we found have slowed down. So those are some of the, I suppose, positives and negatives of COVID-19. We've been able to tackle those challenges.
Yeah.
We've referred to better practices and we've adapted to better practice around managing or supporting clients, our team, and through technology. We've been innovative and, I suppose, adjusted fit-for-purpose responses. So we're very good at using Teams and Zoom at the moment.
Yeah.
And also we've been able to adjust and adapt all our internal processes. So obviously we've been working from home. We've got our COVID plans in place, supporting our team to also implement those.
Yeah.
And we've also adapted all of our offerings online, which we've received really good feedback, which is positive.
And where do you see the business? You said 2025 was a timeline you mentioned at the beginning. Where do you see the business? You on track, or the pandemic has put you off track?
No, not at the moment. It's been a little bit interesting, yeah. But I think we'll continue to be on track through to 2025. It takes hard work. That's one thing I will say. We have worked so hard. We work long hours, and what you put in, you get out. But I think we'll still be on track to meet our 2025 goals, which is exciting.
Losing government business in many instances, government is one of the, government contract is a core component of business. This, in many instances, has resulted in companies having to shed some of their workforce. Has it affected your personnel in terms of numbers?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. In some areas it has, and in some areas it hasn't. So we have two practices. Yeah. So we have business evaluation and audit, and we have community culture, education and change. So I suppose some of our business evaluation and audit, that team's been more impacted than our other team.
Yeah.
So we have had some staff that we've not been able to keep, unfortunately, but we're very focused on building that back up so we can employ more people and be able to make a difference. So that's been really important for us.
Working with the government, obviously you have close contact with government and you work with other Indigenous businesses. You would be in a privileged position working with government. How about those businesses that are not so closely linked to government? Have you been able to support them? How has the relationship been during this difficult time of COVID?
First and foremost, we always try and support and use in Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander business ourselves wherever we can. That's always our first point of call. We're also a part of the Canberra Indigenous Business Network, which is a network of, we've got 15 member businesses, Aboriginal business or Torres Strait Islander businesses here in Canberra that have come together to provide support and I suppose a bit of a force around working together and getting the name out for Aboriginal business here in Canberra.
Yeah.
So that's really good. And we also, within our Canberra Indigenous Business Network, we share resources and share information. So if I get a call for a piece of work that's not our skill set, I will always refer within our member businesses. So that's been really important. But for us as Corrigo, we use Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander business whenever we can. I can name it our cleaners. An Aboriginal business, our media people are an Aboriginal business through to our law support. So every time we can, we've had HR support through an Aboriginal business. So we use Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander business in every opportunity that we have. That's a real focus for us.
Maybe this should have been the first question. The name Corrigo, where does it come from and what does it mean?
Corrigo to us means family. So Corrigo is, we've used the letters of our children's names, something that is a made-up name, but for us it's really important as it means family. And we pride ourselves on all of our employees become a part of the Corrigo family. So the name for us has real significance. Lots of people ask that question because it is a little bit of a different name, but definitely it means family to us.
Now, going back to the Mara business, can you tell us a little bit more how having completed the masterclass has been essential to you managing the business and navigating the pandemic?
Mara provided me with, I suppose, a little bit more confidence and also support going through the pandemic. So providing with information, we had catch-up in the beginning when the pandemic began. The network has been really important. It's very much about sharing.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's in line with what our business is about. It's about relationship and quality work. Mara has been able to support us with information that we need. There's been emails out around COVID information, also around just picking up the phone and ringing someone else who's in the same boat as you. So that's been really, really important, I suppose, around well-being. But Mara, the areas that Mara supported in around leadership, finances, marketing and so on, HR. I suppose it's given me a little bit more confidence around what I was already doing was on the right track, but extra learning to, I suppose, extend that.
Yeah.
And through the pandemic, that I suppose it's been really vital because there's so much to do around human resources and, you know, health and restrictions and things like that. It's been really valuable, the Mara relationship and the learning.
Yeah. Now, before we wrap up, because I've caught you in a busy day and you've got to go back to work, any message or advice to other businesses that...
From my perspective, it's really important to share and grow together and wherever you can, engage in an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander business. I think lots of people also think that our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander businesses only work in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander affairs, but we work across the board. So I think give an Aboriginal business a go, and for our Aboriginal business owners, reach out and support and share. There's lots of work to go around. I think the biggest thing is have a network around you that supports, because that's made a huge difference for me.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.